Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. What you were supposed to say. What you were supposed to say. If I could draw your attention right there to the very first verse of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, God. I could just rest right there. In the beginning, God. There's something about God in the beginning. It's what's so incredible about the opportunity that we have with dates and times and seasons and years. Here we are, first Sunday in the new year. One of the things that's so amazing about it is you can start over. You get to hit the reset button and start over. Whatever happened last year, you can start over. Whatever took place in the past, you can start over. Whatever was going on in your life, whatever you didn't like, whatever was messy, whatever was jacked up, right now, first Sunday, first week in the new year, you can start over right now. And in the beginning, God. You can have God at the beginning of stuff. I know I'm not the only one in the room who in the beginning of something, God wasn't a part of it. There's been a whole lot of times when I ended up with something that I wasn't happy with because the beginning wasn't God. It's difficult to complain about the fruit you got when it was the seed you planted. A lot of us got lemon fruit, mad about it, wishing we had mangoes. But if lemons is what you planted, then lemons is what you go end up with. And it's not necessarily a horrible thing to have lemons, because lemons is still a fruit. There is something powerful about the lemon, but you can't be mad at lemon fruit when you planted lemon seed. Can't be mad at carnality when carnality is what was birthed. Difficult when you end up with something that the result of it is totally based on how you started. And a lot of times we like to complain about what we got and don't really want to analyze what happened in the beginning. But this passage here says, in the beginning, God. In the start of it, God. Now, I don't know what your theological perspective is about Genesis chapter 1. There are several theological thoughts. There are some who look at Genesis chapter 1 and see it literally as history, that this is a historical account of what happened. To be honest, that's really the way I was raised. I was raised that this story is a historical recording of what actually happened. Then there are theologians who studied and learned, and have you been to school, they'll have the discussion with you and conversation with you and explain to you that Rome, that Moses wrote the Pentateuch, and Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, and Moses was probably significantly impacted by Egyptian culture and was determined to lay something out for the people of God to have something that gave them a sense of who God was and how God moved. And so there are definitely theological believers who see the presentation in the beginning as more allegorical than actual. That the word Adam means man. So that is this somebody's actual name, or is this a picture? Is this a type? Is this an explanation of how God interacts with human beings? No matter how you slice it, no matter how you look at it, it's still beneficial to you. Whether you take either angle, I'm not gonna argue with you over which one, because the truth of the matter is that the best thing for you to do with the word is to apply it. And if you apply this passage as God and his interaction with humans, then there's going to be a benefit that you're going to get out of it. And I'm sorry, but I would rather have an in the beginning God than an in the beginning monkeys. Can I get a witness? And we have to look deeper and see how interesting it is that there's an argument that is saying in the beginning, bang, in the beginning, explosion, in the beginning, evolution, in the beginning, something that was nothing. In other words, in the beginning, flesh. In the beginning, flesh gave birth to flesh, especially since Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is only flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. Now, you can stay stuck with just being flesh, born of flesh, and if that's the perspective you'd like to maintain, praise God for you. As for me and my house, I would rather believe that there is a God somewhere. There is a God that is powerful, that had a plan in mind for mankind. I would rather have a God that's intentional than a great big cosmic accident. Because that which is born of the flesh is only flesh. And if I allow myself to just surrender to the idea that flesh just gives birth to flesh and everything is just flesh and we are just some kind of evolved animal, then it makes it extremely difficult to walk according to purpose. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. Here we are in the beginning of the year, and I'm starting off at the top, saying in the beginning, let's see God. Right now, we're so focused. It's so easy to be so focused on everything but God. So focused on the situation. So focused on the money. So focused on the sickness. So focused on the temperature. So focused. I know as I'm walking around 80 degrees in North Carolina in January and thinking about global warming, and it's so easy to be focused on everything but God. I want to start this year off here. Initially, if there's any vision I want you to get, it's God. I want you to see God. I want you to see God clearly. I want you to understand the character of God and the mind of God. And when we look at Genesis, we see right from the get-go, it says, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God's intentional. In the beginning, God's a planner. In the beginning, God's got structure. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. In the beginning, God had a plan that included what was above us and beneath us. In the beginning, God had a plan that didn't just focus on the heavens, it also focused on the earth. In the beginning, God created not just worship, but also welcome. Not just interaction with him, but interaction with one another. In the beginning, God created not just loving God, but loving one another. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is not something that God added to it afterwards. No, the thing started with God. And I want this year to start with God. I speak that. I want your life to start with God. Maybe last year didn't. Maybe the year before that didn't. Maybe 3 years ago didn't. Maybe, but here we are, first Sunday in the year, and let's let this year be bathed in the beginning with saying, God, what are you saying to me? God, what is your original intention for me? God, I in my past have added you to stuff afterwards. What I've done is I brought you in and tried to get you to clean up mess. But this time what I want to do is I don't want to take another step. I don't want to go into a new week. I don't want to go into a new year. I don't want to go into this new job. I want to get God in the beginning. I tell you, I could just preach on these three verses, just them few words all day long. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God was someone that creation is a part of his character. Intentional is a part of his name. A lot of the times when we think about God, we think him mostly as a rescuer and as a deliverer and as a way maker and as a healer. And there is an aspect of it, but just here at the beginning, I'd like us to start just acknowledging that God has a plan. God has an intention. And that God is creative. And there's no greater vision to start off this year of vision with than the intentional perspective of God, and for us to grasp it as much as we can. Verse 2 says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The theologians say they don't really have any idea how much time passed between verse 1 and verse 2. We don't know what happened, because God wouldn't create something formless. God wouldn't create something void. God wouldn't create something with darkness. So there's a beginning in which God created something. And verse 2 says that there's a now situation that's different than what God originally created. It's possible for you to be in a now situation that's very different than what God originally created. It's possible for you to be in a now circumstance that had nothing to do with the original intention of God for you. It's absolutely possible for you to find yourself in trouble with the knowledge that that isn't what God ever wanted for you. It's absolutely possible for you to find yourself where you're saying, well, in the beginning, this is what God made me for, but now the earth that I face is formless and empty, and darkness is over the surface of the deep. It's a wasteland. It's confusion. It's chaotic. And the Spirit hovers over the mess. I'm so glad that the Spirit shows up even when stuff is messy. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. Even when it's not as perfect as it was in the beginning. I was sharing with someone just the other day. I think it was my son, Manny Arango. I was telling him where you are when you start in the ministry and where you end up after 40 years, two totally different places. The war can have it can take a toll on you. Life can take a toll on you. The work situation can take a toll on you. Having children can take a toll on you. And where you were when you started and where you are now. It's possible that you may have something that's not necessarily what God originally intended. And it's one of the things I love about God and love about here at the beginning of the year is that in his creating, God corrects. In his creating, God corrects. God's like, well, if you see me right, then you know that I created the heavens and the earth. And even though what I originally intended is something different than what you've got now, that's all right, because I'll step in and make the crooked straight and make the rough places plain. And there's a glory that will be revealed when I fix it. There'll be a power that you'll get a chance to see who I really am when I clarify the stuff that's cloudy. That God gives something formless form. God finds something that's formless. He creates the heavens and the earth, and now the earth is formless without void, and darkness has covered the face of the deep. And so now God has found something over time that has been affected by something outside of his hand, but that's all right. Verse 2 is the reload. Verse 2 is the reset. Verse 2 is God interjecting himself again back into the earthly situation to fix it. One of the things I love about God is that he gives form to the formless. And we get a chance to see something about the mind of God by understanding the structure of God. God gives structure to something, and by giving structure to a thing, we get a glimpse into his mind, because I got to have his mind. I got to know what God is saying to me. I got to understand the structure of God, because I want to walk with him this year. I want to talk with him this year. I want to hear from him this year. I want to be in relationship with him this year. I want him to be able to get my attention this year. I want my life to go to a whole nother level this year. Somebody asked me, Pastor Andy, what do you think? I said, this year about to be a year like never before. We're about to go to a whole nother level, but it's going to happen as a result of us holding to his hand, us being close to him, and starting off not just necessarily having a vision for us, but a vision of him. I know a lot of times when we say vision, we think a vision for us. What's your vision? What's your vision? I'm saying, well, initially, what I want my vision to be is I want to see God really clear. I want to see God and his character. I want to see God and his intention. I want to see God and where he's going to lead us next. Because if we knew what we were doing, we wouldn't be where we are now. So I get a chance to see the mind of God and the character of God by the structure of God in him cleaning this thing up. And you see it right there in Genesis chapter 1, and it's all right there. But it says, and God said in verse 3, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and the first day. So the first thing that we see that God brings into, that God brings and creates and lays out there in the structure of God and giving us a glimpse into the mind of God is light and darkness, day and night. That the Lord says, well, the start of vision is you got to know what's light. You got to know what's dark. We are going to have to make sure that there is a clear distinction between what's dark and what's light. Because Jesus said, if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Meaning, it's possible that what you call light is actually dark. It's possible that what you call wise is actually dumb. It's possible that what you see as correct is actually incorrect. And a part of what the Lord does in the beginning is say, well, listen, this is light and this is darkness. And there's a difference between the two. And what fellowship can light have with darkness? And what fellowship can there be between Christ and the devil? And I'm sorry, but I just think that in our humanity, we have a tendency to just want to mix it all together. Especially today. We just want everything to be gray. Whereas God says, well, if it's formless and if it's messed up, then the start of it is saying, well, this is light and this is dark. This is good and this is evil. This works and this doesn't. The first thing that he creates and the first thing he brings as structure is light and darkness. Then the next thing that he brings in there, you see it in verse 6. And God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it. And it was so, and God called the expanse sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. So the second thing that God does to bring structure besides just light and darkness. And I want the Lord to turn the light on in your life. I want the Lord to illuminate your situation, and I want you to be able to really see because the lights are really on. But I also want God in his creating and in his clarifying to also show space and sky. That's the second thing I see, space and sky, meaning not only does God create light and darkness, but God also brings about space. He makes a vault. He creates the space. He creates some separation, because sometimes a part of the character of God is to get some separation from you. To get you some separation from the situation. To get you some separation from the people. From you. For you to get some separation from the situation. Because a part of what clarifies is space. And for you to say, this is space. This is sky. This is what's above me. This is what's beneath me. And that a part of what I begin to realize about the clarifying power of God is that he's going to create some space for me so that I can get a vision of him. Number three, third thing that God creates, it says in verse number 9, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear, and it was so. And God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. So the second thing, third thing that God creates is land and sea. God creates the difference between what's firm and what's moving. What a vision from the Lord in the beginning. Okay, God, tell me what I can count on. Tell me what's always shifting. Tell me what is a firm foundation. Tell me what has storms on it and is always moving and may be too deep. And if I'm in it too long, I may drown. Let me know what the seas are. Let me know what the land is. Part of me understanding the mind of God and the clarity of God is for me to know that the Lord created a situation in which there is some stuff that you can stand on, and then there's some things that you can't. There are some things that are a firm foundation, and then there are some things that are not. There's land, which is something that I build on, and then really the sky and the sea are vehicles for travel. Especially to us now, we realize that we get to places, they got to places as a result of the seas. And we get to places as a result of the skies and the seas. And so I realize that a part of the clarity that God brings is God brings the difference between where you live and how you move. And how I get from one place to the next place versus where I am, and whether or not I should be here or whether or not I should use a vehicle to go to another place is all a part of the clarity of God. Is this too deep for everybody? Are you all hearing what I'm saying? I know I'm teaching you something, but I don't want to recommend it to you more than once. I'm just saying to you, seem to me it would make sense to understand God's mind. And God's structure and God's expectation. And just simply by looking at what he does with the earth, we get a picture and a glimpse into what a vision of God really is. God creates this sky and sea, and it's interesting that it's a vehicle. It's an interesting that it's a means of travel for us, because there's going to be times when you steady, and there's going to be times when it's time to go somewhere. Number four, it's all right there. It says in verse number 11, says, then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to the various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation and plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. So the fourth thing that God uses to clarify is trees and seeds and fruit. God plants a garden. God puts these trees there. God puts this greenery there. God creates something that you eat, but He creates it so that there's seed in it. So part of the vision of God is, and the clarity of God is, this is what you eat, this is what you sow. This is what you eat, this is what you plant. So many of us, myself included, are so determined to have a blessing of God without necessarily understanding the way that the process of blessing actually happens. Because there's what you eat and there's what you sow. There's the stuff you eat, and then there's the seed that you get out of it. And you're always living in a world in which you are walking the fine line of consumer versus producer. And what you produce versus what you consume. And if you consume too much, you won't have anything to plant. And later on, you won't have anything that you get to harvest. And a lot of us that don't have a harvest is because we ate everything and didn't plant nothing. My God. I'm not trying to be deep, but you got to be careful just eating up your 20s and eating up your 30s, because you can eat those years having a good time, or you can use those years to plant so that you can reap a harvest in your 60s. Ain't nothing worse than somebody 30 trying to live it up too much. Some of my biggest regrets is how much I wanted to live and how much I wanted to eat when I was 27. And especially now, because of the phone and Instagram, we get a picture of everybody eating. Notice, almost everybody posts picture of their food, and very few people post picture of their seed. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. That's what we post. We shoot pictures of what we're about to eat. Very rarely do we show pictures of what we just bought. We show pictures of what we got on. We show pictures of what we're wearing. We have a way of glorifying our consumption more than our production. We take pictures on the beach. We take pictures on vacation. Very rarely do we take pictures of ourselves at work. I want to see some work selfies, my God. I want to see somebody with a picture of themselves and their eyes look tired and they say been working hard all day, about to go to sleep. How about you take a picture of that? Why do you have to only take a picture with a wine glass in your hand? Why don't you take a picture of yourself with some water and your workbook? We take a picture of you at the graduation and never see any pictures of you studying, because we glorify the end of the process without really appreciating what it took to get there. And it's one of the reasons why we're so broke. We're so broke because they tricked us into being more in love with the product than producing. They tricked us into, they denied it from us so much that now we chasing the stuff rather than chasing the seed. Help us, Holy Ghost. Whereas when we look at how God created the heavens and the earth and how God brought structure to the world, God created a system in which there's trees and there's seeds and there's fruit. And seed has to be searched for, and seed has to be salvaged, and seed has to be stored, and seed has to be thought about. Our whole mindset and vision has got to change. It's not just a vision of God going miracle in something, sure, but also I'm praying that you'll see God. And in your clarity of seeing God, God said, will say, well, I created a process in which if you plant something small, it'll come back to you bigger than how you put it in. So that ought to feed your expectation and feed your faith and believe that just because it's small now don't mean it's going to be small forever. My God, my confidence doesn't just come from knowing God going to work it out. No. Sure, God's going to work it out. But a part of how God is going to work it out is that God has created a system in which little becomes much. And a tiny thing becomes a big thing. And a one thing becomes a five thing. And a five thing becomes a 10 thing. And a 10 thing becomes a 100 thing. I'm speaking that right now. 30, 60, and 100 fold. And not just in the giving to the church, sure. But you ought to have an expectation for your money to grow and your life to grow and your business to grow and your relationship. You ought to believe that the work you sow will reward you with a harvest significantly later. God creates trees, and God creates fruit, and God creates seed, and hard to be successful in this life. Maybe your earth is dark and formless because you don't know where your fruit is, and you don't know where your seed is. No, I'm not the only one. Well, I'm at a significant place of blessing simply as a result of stopping believing my own hype. I don't know if you've ever gotten to the place where you stop the rat race and stop believing your own hype and take a real hard look at everything and realize you broke. I can't get an amen on that one. Realize that if you keep going the way you're going, you won't be able to retire. You won't be able. And the question is, can you decrease to increase? Can you eat less this year and be a little hungry this year and maybe not have quite as much this year? But that's okay, because you are storing up a seed so that you can plant and reap a harvest when you're 68. Let me move on. What I'm saying is that I realize that part of the way that God is going to bless me is with some structure. Then it says in verse 14, and God said, I know, God said, it's right here, and I can't get away. In verse 14 says, and God said, let there be lights in the spanks of the sky to separate the day from the evening, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let there be lights in the spanks of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars, and God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. So the fifth thing that God creates in bringing structure is time. God says it's going to be time. It's not going to just be some great big thing. There's going to be some seasons. There's going to be some days. There's going to be years. There's going to be winter. There's going to be summer. There's going to be spring. You're going to be young. You're going to be old. You're not going to be young forever. Just a couple of weeks ago, my aunt died. And last week, I went to my aunt's funeral. And she was almost 80 years old. And she died of ALS, and so she suffered at the end, but she never gave up her faith and believing that God would heal her. And in the end, she did get her healing and her victory because she's with the Lord right now. I wish you had a witness in the building. And I was there at her funeral. It's very interesting to go to the funeral of somebody 80 and 85 years old, because a lot of their contemporaries are already gone. If you plan to live lifelong, you have to realize that the chances that your friends will be at your funeral, it's not good. So the people who are going to be at your funeral are going to be the people coming behind you that you treated well. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. So my aunt At my aunt's funeral, not only were her children there, but her stepchildren were there because she decided that she didn't care if they came from her body or not. She was going to love them like they were hers. And so even though she wasn't a mama, they still came to her funeral. And their spouses came to her funeral. And their grandchildren came to her funeral. And her children's spouses came to the funeral. My oldest cousin, her daughter, her name was Sandy. She died several years ago. Her husband is remarried to another person after his wife died. My cousin died, and he came to her funeral with his new wife. Because when you love people right, they want to be around. My God, when you decide that your heart is bigger than just your situation, it creates a world in which folk love you if you know how to love them. And I sat there and thought, who's gonna come to my funeral? I want you to think about this. I don't care how much kale you eat. I don't care how much water you drink. We about to go on this consecration, and I'm getting ready. Today's my last day, and I'm gonna have some Reese's and some cake and some cornbread, and my wife's gonna fry some chicken in Jesus' name because it's church and it's soul food. But starting tomorrow, I'm gonna be eating clean. You can eat clean all you want. Time is on the move. Not going to be here forever. Not always going to have this opportunity. God creates time to give a certain amount of structure. God, I'm running out of time. Then he says, God said, let the land produce living creatures. So the sixth thing that God creates is life. He creates animals with life in them. Animals in the ocean and animals on the land, God creates life. And then number seven, in verse number 27, verse 26, God says, let's make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the livestock over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. The seventh thing that God created is living souls. Living souls. The seventh thing that God brought to bring structure is living souls. He makes time. He creates life, animals everywhere. Then he creates somebody in his image. He makes men and women, breathes into the breath of life, and they become more than just an animal. They become a living soul. Because it's hard to have structure when your soul is dead. Hard to have structure when you don't have God breathing the breath of life into you. Hard for you to have form without the soul connection. God doesn't just make man like he makes animals. God makes man with a different connection. God puts a piece of himself in man. He says, let's not just make what we've made before. Let's make something in our image, in our likeness. Let's make something like us. God says, let's make man and women, and let's make them in our image, in our likeness. So he creates them and he forms them. God makes them so that he can commune with them. He creates Adam and Eve. He creates man for fellowship. He creates man for communion. He creates man for covenant. He builds a people that he can say, come now, let us reason together. He builds a people that he can say, hey, come on, let's make a covenant. He builds and creates a people that he can say, hey, come now, let's have an agreement with one another. And this will be my part and that'll be your part. And if you do what you say, I'll do what I say. And you do what you're supposed to do, and I promise you I'll do what I'm supposed to do. When God decides to clarify, he decides to make a species, a mankind built for connection. And my God, I want you to see a God. I want to see a God who's trying to talk to me. I want to see a God that's trying to communicate with me. I want to see a God that's trying to have a relationship with me. I want to have a relationship with God where he's showing me what I'm supposed to see, not just what I see. What were you supposed to see? When I look at the creation, when I look at, I'm sorry, I don't mean to get too deep on you, but when I look at what God brings to bring clarity, and that it ends with him making man and women in his image, in his likeness, and talks to them and blesses them and has a relationship with them, it's just hard for me to grasp the idea that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was never for them. Part of my prayer in this year of vision is that we allow God to introduce a vision to us and not just our flesh. My God, I would love for you to get a God relationship-driven vision versus a what your flesh sees and wants vision. I would love to get a vision inspired as a result of my communion with God and my communication with God and my relationship with God, more than just what I see that you got, and more than just what I see they have on TV, and more than just what I see that they have over there, and more just by what somebody tells me I ought to have. I want to see what God would have me to see. I want a vision of what God has for me. I want him to introduce the knowledge of good and evil to me and not the serpent. I honestly believe that the serpent interrupts the process. I think he comes over to Eve and Adam and says, listen, you won't die. The day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. And their eyes are open. They don't die. They don't eat it and drop dead on the spot. It's not called the tree of death. It's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they eat of it and their eyes are open. But what they see is not what God means for them to see. As a result of who introduced them to the fruit, as a result of their inability to handle the knowledge when they got it, they ended up with a view of themselves as naked instead of a view of themselves as clothed with God's presence. Oh my God, my prayer for us is that we will not allow the serpent, whatever we call the serpent, to lure us into partaking of knowledge and of good and evil without God's introduction to it. I know I'm going deep. I know it's tough because I was taught that's God's tree and God don't have that tree. But why would God make a tree? What's God need a tree of knowledge of good and evil for? God's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last and the one who was and is to come. What does he need a tree for? For knowledge of good and evil. So he just made it and put it there for nobody? No. I honestly believe that God said, no. I built you for communion. I built you for relationship. I built you for connection. I built you for a vision. I just need you to get a vision from me and not a vision from the serpent. Because Lucifer got kicked out of heaven. heaven because he decided that because he reflected the glory of God, he must be like God. Listen, just because you reflect glory don't mean the glory is yours. Oh my God, I got to get off this stage, son. But we all got to be careful that we don't start taking credit for the glory that we just get to reflect. That we with unveiled faces reflect the glory. What you have is not about you. It's because God's been so good, and God's been so kind, and God's been so merciful, and you get to reflect what he's done. Can I get a witness in the building? When folk look at you, they're looking at God. When folk look at you, they're looking at what God has done. And you better be careful thinking it's you. And what did the serpent say? He said, ha, you can be like God. Instead of just reflecting his glory, you can be like him. That is the exact trap that Lucifer fell into. That's what he's done, son. He wants to make us in his image. The enemy wants us to worship ourselves more than God. And he wants us to forget that if it had not been for God, and if it had not been for the Lord, and if it had not been for Jesus, and somehow you just find yourself giving yourself a little bit more and more credit about what you got. Well, I did go to school, and well, I did get this degree, and I did go here, and I did go there. But you better be careful not remembering that if the Lord had not spared you, who am I talking to? If God had not allowed you to get to this moment, where would you be? I said, where would you be? You're a living, walking miracle. If it wasn't for God's grace on your life, you would not be where you are. But what's even deeper than that is you have to be careful grabbing at the glory. He comes to them and says, you're not going to die. Instead, you can be like me. I tried to be like God and got kicked out of heaven and led a third of the angels with him all over pride. I rebuke pride over you and me in the name of Jesus. Can we rebuke pride over you and me and us? Can we do that, son? Can we rebuke pride in the name of Jesus? Can we let it all go? Can we say, Lord, let it be about you this year. God, let you be in the beginning this year. God, why don't you give me a vision this year? God, why don't you speak a word to me? God, why don't you have your way in my life? God, why don't you lead me to the tree and you tell me what's good and you tell me what's evil? Maybe I could be naked and unashamed. I don't want to go too deep. I'm running out of time, but there's something wrong when you need clothes to feel good about yourself. There's something wrong when you only feel good about yourself because of your trappings and because of your stuff and because of your things. If stuff is right with you and God, then with nothing else, you're like, listen, take the world. Give me Jesus. Take the stuff. Give me Jesus. Take the things. Give me Jesus. I'd really rather have them than any of the stuff. They eat of the tree. I honestly believe that the tree is vision. The tree is vision. And as I approach God and as I get to know him and as I understand his character, I'm saying, God, show me who you are so I can hear what you're saying. I know you don't just have a vision for me. You have a vision, period. You have a vision, period. Period. God has a vision. Period. Here in the beginning, let's not overly mess it up with the vision being just about me or you. I almost hesitate to say this, but we have to be careful that we don't get kind of witchcrafty about God, as if we think we got so much to say and do that we can change God from his course of action. Believe me, beloved, it's becoming apparent that God has a plan for this time, and we better get about being about what he wants this time to be. I better get on out of here. We better lay aside whatever our agenda is, son. Whatever it is, we better lay it aside, Ray. Whatever we thought it was, we better at some point back up and say, God, have your way. God, you have your way. God, whatever you want to do, you do. God, whatever you want to say, you say. Lord, you let me know what your vision is for America. Lord, you let me know what your vision is for this generation. Lord, you let me know what's your vision for millennials. God, you let me know what's your vision for Z. I'm done telling God how to fix people. I'm done telling God how to fix the country. Okay. I'm done telling God how to fix stuff. I better hear what he's saying. My prayer is that we'll see him. And trying to figure him out gonna take time. Gonna take some surrender. And we need his help. Let me pray for you. God, I just pray right now for us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. This is your world. This is your earth. In you we live and move and have our being. We are your children, the sheep of your pasture. And God, of course, when we say vision, we think of us. But God, here in the beginning, we just want to see you high and lifted up. God, right now, I stretch my hand over this room. I stretch my hand over every person that waded deep with me into this message through the screens. I pray that you will speak to us in the night season. I pray that we'll let go of our agenda and we'll lay aside everything that so easily entangles, and we'll run with perseverance the race that you have marked out for us. I'm praying, God, that we will see the clarity that you are bringing to confusion. Evidently, Lord, things are way more out of whack than we thought. And we're done telling you how to be God. Have your way. As you have your way, heal us. As you have your way, we know you'll bless us. As you have your way, we know that you'll make the crooked straight. As you have your way, we know that you love us and you care for us. As you have your way, we know that you'll heal our teenagers and heal our children and bring about our blessing. God, we know that. We trust you. 'Tis so sweet to trust you. And as we trust you, bless us and use us. In Jesus' name, we all said together, put your hands together if you heard a word from the Lord this morning. Can I get you to give to the presence of the Lord? Can I get you to give to the kingdom of God this second offering? We're going to be doing it all year. This is where we've made our pledges and we're paying on our pledges and we're giving to this Victory Park project. And as you see, we just closed on the land we've had the land for a while, but we wanted to make sure we did our due diligence, and the construction company led us in it, and we really followed them and submitted to their concerns and to all of their communications around making sure this passed this. I just want you to know we're using one of the top construction companies in the area. They're very serious about us getting into our space by the time our lease is up. Hallelujah. And so our lease is up in less than 2 years. Anybody ready to be free from this lease? My God, hallelujah. I want you to know that our lease rate went up again this year. They're charging us more this year than they've ever charged us before. The devil is a liar. It is time for us to be up out of here in the name of Jesus. And so we are on our way. And so if you've made a pledge, then we need you to pay on your pledge. If you feel the presence of God speaking you to some more about giving to the work of the kingdom of God, simply download the app and you can give to the work of his kingdom. This, our second offering, our building fund offering. Let's give to the work of the kingdom. If you need an offering envelope, simply raise your hand. One of the gatekeepers will come to you and give you one quickly. You're watching live around the world, wherever you may be. We need you to give to the vision and give to what God is speaking to us about. And I'm going to take another Sunday, probably the end of the month, and really talk about the vision some more. And I'm going to keep it in front of you. And but we got a ways to go. And I'm determined that God is going to use us and help us. The last Sunday of the year, there was a pastor here that visited, and we had some conversations, and I'm just believing God that God will make a way for us. Can you agree with me? I'm believing that God is going to make a way for us. Let me tell you what I'm praying and believing God for. I'm believing God that we will have the money and not need it. I speak that over me and you. That's favor to me, where you have it and you don't need it. Come on. Believe God. You have it and don't need it. Somehow God makes a way for you. But I need you to give, and I need you to pay on your pledge, and I need you to be faithful and consistent. And if you've never tithed before, I need you to tithe in 2022. I dare you to tithe in 2022 and see what God won't do. If everyone that watched or was a part of it, everyone that was watching around the world, if you just tithed, then we wouldn't even need a special building fund at all if we all just tithed. We all just gave the tenth. It's not equal gifts, it's equal sacrifice. And if you can do that, we will walk into that building. And the space that we're building is going to be the sportsplex place. And it's going to generate income all week long. It's going to tremendously impact the community. And I can't wait to see it happen. And when we get in there, it will significantly impact our monthly costs. Our monthly costs will be cut almost by 60% just by moving into a place that we own. I'm going to make everybody clap. I know I've said it several times, but I need you to hear it. I'm believing that we'll be the lender and not the borrower. Right now, the lease spaces have been nice because they've allowed us to expand and grow and do what we need to do. But at this point now, we're just being taken advantage of. And that's all right. Praise God. God's got a plan for us. The blessing of it is, to be quite honest, beloved, banks are competing for our business. I want you to know. Banks are competing for our business because we've already showed that we can pay a monthly note. As a matter of fact, what we pay now is more than what we will pay. So the benefit of being charged too much still is, we still are walking in a blessing. Even what the enemy means for evil, God can turn it around for your good. My Lord, hallelujah. But we got to get up out of here. Amen. Well, let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. Bless the gift. Bless the giver. Thank you for every person watching around the world. Thank you, Lord God, that you have made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked like it was over, you made a way. Thank you for making a way for us. Thank you for giving us a vision. Thank you for showing us that you have a plan for us. And really, God, we just want to be a part of what you're doing in the North Carolina area. We just want to be a part of what you're doing in America. We just want to be a part of what you're doing in the world. We set aside whatever we thought it was supposed to be, and we surrender ourselves to be a vessel used of you. Take this offering, take our giving, multiply it supernaturally. In Jesus' name. We all sit together. God bless you as you give. As the bucket passes, you just jump on your feet and and we'll be dismissed. We've got so many awesome things that are happening coming up in the new year, and myself and my staff are sitting down in meeting and just talking about all kinds of things. And part of the reason why Pastor Tony and his lovely wife Tiffany have joined the staff is thinking about fellowship, and Pastor Tyrus thinking about fellowships, and folks have been writing me in things and things we used to do and things that we're going to continue to do. I rebuke COVID in the name of Jesus, and we're going to have church. Amen? If you're watching alive around the world, we invite you to come to service with us. If you're in the area, you need to throw your mask on and come to church with us at least one time. There's something about being in the room. But for everyone that's watching around the world, keep watching. Share your faith with someone. Tell somebody, you heard a word. You heard a word. You heard a word. Hallelujah. I want to try to give the gatekeepers a chance to get done. All right, come on, let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for another Sunday. Thank you for First Sunday. Thank you for the praise and the worship. Thank you for the exhortation. Thank you for the depth of your word. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you for giving us wisdom and insight. Now, God, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Cover us with your blood. Bring us back, Lord God, next Sunday, Wednesday night, as we tune in our live, in the streaming. God, next Sunday, as we dig deeper into vision and understanding your character, God, lead us and guide us. We promise to praise you. And as we always pray, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. You're our rock and our redeemer. We love you. In Jesus' name, we all sit together. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. And see you next Sunday.